It's a great honor to stand before you today. I appreciate the elders giving me this opportunity once again to bring to you the Word of God, to preach in an uncompromising fashion as I've been taught myself. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about faith in action gives God his best. Faith in action gives God his best. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. He is holy, compassionate, merciful, and long-suffering. We should know all about these attributes. He's holy, so we can't approach him any way we choose to approach him. We have to approach him in the way that he desires to be approached. Amen. He's compassionate because the Bible tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And so he forgave us our sins, even though we didn't deserve that. And he's long-suffering because from time to time, we slip up and we fall. And he says, if you'll repent, then I will forgive you your sins. If you turn away, I'll forgive you of your sins. He's all these attributes, but many people just give God lip service. But few give him the reverence he deserves. Man. If you know God according to the way he reveals himself in his word, you know that he deserves our reverence. There are plenty who claim to believe, but they have no faith. We run into those people every day. Let's turn to James and see. People say, well, I have faith. But they really don't. They say they believe, but they really have no faith according to the scriptures. James 2:17. And it says, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. So you say, I believe, but you don't have anything to show for your belief. The Bible says your faith is non-existent. It doesn't exist. Faith creates a deep sense of awe towards God. You know, it's times we in our personal studies, and we're studying God's Word, and we come across something that we're just awestruck. We just say, oh, I didn't see that before. This is the first time I've seen it. And we become awestruck, having a better understanding of who God is and what he desires from us. Sometimes in my study, I get awestruck and I have to say, thank you, God. Get on my knees and pray and thank him for giving me this information so that I might be able to tell others. So with our faith, of true faith, we have a sense of awe towards God. He's awesome. Amen. Faith takes over one's life and controls it. If we truly have faith, it will control us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Just the belief will not control us. It's the true faith that God desires to have. That's what will control us. Control our lives. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians says, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So we become Christian is not about us living for what we want. It's about the will of God. Amen. And so that should control us, control our speech, control the things we do, and even control the things we think. So that true sense of faith, the faith that the Bible reveals, it should control each and every one of our lives. If it's not controlling your life, there's something wrong. Well, what is faith? People ask that question all the time. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith, we have not seen these things. We have not heard Jesus' words, but we know they exist. We know they happen because we have faith. We believe heaven exists because we have faith. We know that if we remain true to God, we're going to get to heaven because God's promises do not fail. We know these things exist. And let me just say this. A lot of people believe that we have some blind faith. We just believe just because of believing. But when we read the scriptures, we have eyewitness testimony.
That's right.
People were with Christ. They died believing these things. So we just don't believe blindly about Christ, about God. When Christ was on the earth, he had people who were eyewitnesses. They wrote and preached about these things. So our faith is not blind. We have eyewitness testimony. And if you're in a courtroom and somebody says, that's the guy that did it, I was an eyewitness, you're going to believe him, aren't you? True faith in spiritual matters comes from God's word, Romans 10:17. You can't get faith from any other place. It has to come from God's word. It has to come from God's word. That's true faith. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's the only word you can get it. That's the only place you can get faith. It has to come from God's word. You have to hear it, and then you have to believe it. You can't get it from any other place. You can't get it from any other book in the library but this Bible. The word was written to produce faith. John 20:30-31. John 20:30-31. This book just didn't come by happenstance. This book just didn't appear without a purpose. It was written to produce faith.
Amen.
And it says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. By believing you might have life in his name. If faith is controlling your life and you're believing it, you can have life, eternal life. But it has to be true faith. It just can't be belief. You know, we read, the reading was Malachi 1:6-8, and how these priests, they were despising God's altar. And they said, how have we despised your altar? What are we doing wrong? You're giving God the things you don't want. How are we despising you, God? And he says, well, we give them to your governor. You think he would accept it? Then why do you think I would accept it? Amen. And say, God has never been willing to accept just anything we offer him.
Amen.
Hey, God, I got this to give you. I don't want it, but here, maybe you might want it. That's not reverence toward our Creator.
Amen.
And so just back when we read in Malachi, and today, he's never been willing to accept just anything we offer. Today is in times past, God would not accept our half-hearted attempt to serve him. He just will not accept it. Whether it feels good to us and we think we're serving him, we're fooled. We're deceiving ourselves. God will not accept the individual, Christian, or congregation who accepts average as normal. I've said this before, when I was going to school, I accepted average as normal. But as a Christian, I can't accept average as normal. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:58. God will not accept average as normal. Sometimes we say, well, I'm just going to give him what I can give him. I'm not going to do any more. The elders said we're going to knock on the door Saturday. We've already been at service on Wednesday and on Sunday. I'm not giving any more. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Always abounding in the Lord. That's more than average, isn't it?
Amen.
That's not just average, that's going above average. That's doing everything within your power to serve God.
Amen.
And to do it at the best of your ability.
Amen.
The best of your ability. Not half-hearted. So God's not going to accept average. He's not going to accept the average Christian. He's not going to accept the average congregation. He wants us always abounding in his work, serving him. Without sincere faith, no person will be saved. Without sincere, genuine faith, nobody's going to be saved. Soaring up on Sunday morning, sitting in the pew for an hour is not going to save you.
Amen.
It's not going to save you. It feels good. It's what's commanded. but it's not going to save you. It's not going to save me. It's not going to save anybody. Many who are void of any faith do religious things, don't they? They don't have any faith revealed in the scriptures, but they do religious things. They go, they come and sit in a pew on Sundays, they stand up and sing songs, but the Bible says they don't have any faith. Let's go to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. And we talked about how faith, we know these things exist because we believe. And the faith controls us. Now, Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith is it impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God," if you want to draw near to God, "you must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." If you don't have any faith, you cannot please God. You cannot please him. Even if it feels good what you're doing and it's not real, it's not true faith, you're not pleasing him. You're only pleasing yourself. You're making yourself feel good, but you're not servicing or doing any service to God. Many Christians believe but have no real faith. So what are you talking about, brother? What do you mean? I got faith. I got faith. Let's go to Ephesians 2, 8, 9. You believe, but it doesn't control your life. It doesn't control you. It doesn't control your speech. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And just a sidebar, a lot of people say that we believe that you have to work your way into heaven. I talked to this lady, once saved, always saved. You say, well, that you're saying you have to work. Well, no, I believe what it says here. We can't boast. We can't boast. We can't work our way into heaven. I believe that. We believe that. "Now there's a result of work, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." See, those good works is what we should be walking in, right?
Amen.
We're his workmanship in Christ. Because we do that when we express our faith. And we walk in those works. We strive to do good works. Strive to please God. Christians have to be more than just religious to enter heaven. You have to be more than just religious. There's people in Jesus' day that were just religious. Let's go to Matthew 5:20. Matthew 5:20. And in class, we were talking about Matthew 23 and how Jesus just gave a scathing rebuke to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matthew 5:20. "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, the Pharisees, they wore these long robes. They had these things on their heads with scripture. They loved to be called rabbi in the marketplace. They looked apart. They looked apart. But they were just a show for men. They didn't have God in mind with these robes and this out, this act that they put on. Jesus called them hypocrites. So you just can't be religious and think you're going to heaven.
Amen.
Don't fool yourself.
Because
God's not fooled.
Amen.
There's some things that we need to understand that we must give God our best.
That's right.
We have to understand this if he's going to be pleased with us. The first one is our worship. A worship that is directed towards God must not be ritualistic performance. We just can't be going through the motions where the heart's not engaged. Just going through the motions. I'm going to show up. I'm going to sing a song. I'm going to drop some money in the plate. And then I'm gone. John 4:24. See, this is what God desires from us. This is what he desires from us. "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." In spirit, how's your attitude? think Brother Melvin talked about that a couple lessons ago, about attitude. When you come into this building, how's your attitude? Are you here for the right reason? Are you here to worship God? And then according to his truth, not according to man's truth. That's why you don't see any mechanical instruments up here. It's not according to man's truth. It's according to what has been revealed by God. So let our worship not be ritualistic. Let our hearts be engaged. Our worship to God should be an expression of a devoted heart. We should all have a devotion to God. But see, that comes with studying his word and then understanding who he is and who we are. If we understand him to be the creator, our savior, then we'll be given the reverence he deserves. Matthew 22:37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You don't have anything left, do you? That's your whole being. That's devotion. Devote your whole being to serving God. Amen. Show your faith by devoting your whole being to serving God. Oh, here they go again. Talking about not coming to service. Some have neglected the importance of the assembly. And let's read this. Hebrews 10:24-25. I mean, we hear it all the time from the pulpit. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And some have neglected the importance of the assembly. Let me tell you this. It says provoking one another to good works. If you're neglecting the assembly, you're being selfish. Because you're supposed to be provoking me to love and good works. I'm supposed to be provoking you to love and good works. If I'm not showing up because I just don't feel it, I'm being selfish. Because I ain't thinking about you, I'm thinking about me. I ain't feeling it today. So I'm not really thinking, but if I'm thinking about you, even though I might have a bad morning, even though it might not have started all right, I might have had a bad night, I got to be here because I got to provoke you unto love and good works. I got to do that. And that's what we got to do to each other. So we can't neglect the assembly. Let's not be selfish. Let's provoke one another unto love and good works. Another place we give God our best is our bodies. The physical bodies of Christians become gods upon conversion. It's not about you anymore. If you become a Christian, you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you say, God, I'm going to follow you all the way until I die, until I leave this earth, you're saying, I'm yours. Have your way with me. Amen. Let's go to Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. Excuse me. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to God. So we got to understand what's acceptable to God, right? First, it's got to be holy. He is holy, so we have to be holy. And so we can't just, our bodies have to be prioritized to where we're serving God with our bodies. And our speech has to be seasoned with salt. So we can't participate in the things the world participates in because our bodies are God's. When we become Christians. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. Because true faith is the only thing that's going to get you into heaven. Everyone who has hope purifies himself. 1 John 3:3. If you have hope, if faith is controlling your life, those things that you were doing in the world, those things you were part of, you start to move them away from you. You purify yourself because of the hope and seeing you, the hope of heaven. 1 John 3:3. And everyone who thus hopes in him, in Jesus, purifies himself as he is pure. We start to move those worldly things away. That mindset starts to draw further and further away from us because of the hope that's in us. So we purify ourselves, giving ourselves the opportunity to draw near to God and thus become holy. We must keep our bodies pure because God's Spirit dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. You are not your own. You belong, if you're a Christian, you belong to God to serve Him to the best of your ability with everything you have. Amen. Spirit of God dwells in us, so are Christians.
Amen.
We should keep that in mind. Our service. We should give God our best, the best that we can possibly give in our service. Many believers say, I have faith, but do not serve God. We run into those people all the time, too. They say, oh, I'm highly favored, I'm blessed and highly favored, or something like that.
Amen.
But they don't serve God.
Amen.
Matthew 7:21-23. And then when you tell them truth, they say, well, you don't know what you're talking about.
Amen.
Oh, that's not what my Bible says. Matthew 7:21-23. Many believers say, I have faith. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe He died on the cross for their sins, but they don't serve Him. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. See, they recognize Him as Lord. Or they recognize Him, but they don't serve Him. Because either they refuse to serve Him as God dictates in His Word, or they just feel like I'll serve Him any way I want to.
Amen.
A person serves, and get this, a person serves when he accomplishes the work of the one he serves. Now, if you're working for, say, UPS, if you're working for UPS, the work that they give you to do is get that package on that next flight. That's how you serve them. Right? That's how you serve them.
Amen.
Now, if you're serving God, you accomplish the work that He's giving you to do.
Amen.
Once again, a person serves when he accomplishes the work of the one he serves. And serving is just being obedient to the commands of God. Serving is just being obedient to the commands of God.
Amen.
John 4:33-34. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him, speaking to Jesus, something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Is that our mindset? Now, to accomplish his work, I say this, that we all have talents. We all have talents. In the family of God, we all have talents. Are you trying to cultivate your talent? Are you trying to cultivate your talent so that you can serve God to the best of your ability? We all have talents. God wants us to use them to His glory.
Yeah.
And if you're not using them to His glory, then it's sinful. God requires that we put forth our best effort in all we do for Him.
Yeah.
God doesn't accept second best.
Amen.
As we've seen in Malachi, He wants the very best that we have to offer. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. 24th verse. Knowing that from the Lord you receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. Do we have that attitude? Or even in our daily jobs at school, are we thinking about serving the Lord, doing things according to His will? Are we thinking about those things?
Are we giving our best effort? I know time to time I hear Sister Tamla say, you know, when the men ain't looking, we kind of slack off. Kind of slack off, but we should be giving God our best even when he ain't looking. God is a fair and honest judge. We believe he's a fair and honest judge. He's not going to put anything more on you than you can handle. He's not going to give you more than you can resist. He's not going to let the devil put more on you that you won't be able to overcome. He's fair and honest. He is never fooled. Now, we might be able to fool each other here, but God's not fooled.
Amen.
You can't fool him. He knows the answer before he asks the question. Remember in the garden, he asked Adam, "Where art thou?" Think he didn't know where Adam was? Or in Malachi, he says, "Will a man rob God? Can we rob God?" He knows the answer even before he asks the question. God cannot be fooled by spin, excuses, or misrepresentations. We can't spin our way out of not serving God. We can't say, I'm not feeling well to come to service, but you just finished a shift on your job. If you're well enough to go to work, you should be well enough to come to service.
Amen.
That should be a rule. If you go to work not feeling well, you should at least come to service. Because on that job, it's at least 8 hours, and only here is, what, 1 hour?
Amen.
Let's go to Joshua 24:14. Let's go to 1 Peter 6 and 7 first. 1 Peter 6 and 7. God tells us, he says, I'm going to test your faith. I'm going to see how genuine your faith is to me. I'm going to see if you truly love me. Are you truly serving me? I'm going to test it. 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our faith is going to be tested. How's it going to be on the other side of that test of faith? To test the genuineness of our faith. Is it genuine? And you remember those old commercials that says, is it real? Is it Memorex? Is it genuine? Is it real? It's going to get tested. Now let's go to Joshua 24:14. Joshua 24:14, please. Now here Joshua says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. He says, fear him, respect him, reverence him, give him all that is due him. Let his will become our main focus in life. And it doesn't sound easy to me. Let his will become the main focus in our lives. Let that drive what we do. Let that drive how we speak. Let that drive where we go. Then Joshua said, serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Serve him. Perform his will by obeying his commands. And command is to meet upon the first day of the week. Something we should always look forward to do.
Amen.
But that's not the only thing. We serve him each and every day. We serve him in our houses, with our wives, with our husbands, with our children. We serve him in our jobs and work heartily. Serve him.
Amen.
Perform his will by obeying his commands.
Amen.
And then Joshua says, as before they were to enter in, Joshua said, having our hope. Let me see. Having a whole heart engaged in the service of God. Our whole heart has to be engaged. Can't be half-hearted effort. It has to be all or nothing. Because God's not going to accept anything but all or nothing.
Amen.
So we have to just look at ourselves and see where our faith is. Do we really have faith that's described by the scriptures? Or is it some type of faith that some men or men have said, well, yeah, that's faith. Or is it according to the scriptures? We all have to examine ourselves. And so, if you're not a Christian and you're here this morning, we want you to become a Christian. Amen. We want you to let you know that the plan of salvation is to hear the word, believe it. Believe it, have faith that it's true. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And then repent of your sins. And that's like, you know, when you're going down the highway, repentance is you were going north and now you're going south. You're going east and now you're going west. That's repentance. You're doing a whole 180. You're going in a different direction with a different mindset. That's repentance. And then you make the confession, as the eunuch did, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you believe that with all your heart.
Amen.
Make that public confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you submit yourself for baptism. And I just don't understand why people say baptism is not necessary for salvation. In each and every conversion in the book of Acts, there was always a baptism when you're being converted to Christ.
Amen.
There was never a time when somebody prayed and was converted to Christ. There was never a time when somebody said, I believe, and they were converted to Christ. There was always a baptism.
Amen.
And if you're a Christian and you haven't been living right, now's the opportunity for you to get it right.
Amen.
Now's the opportunity that you know that you haven't been living right, or you understand what God desires of you. We implore you to come back to work out your soul salvation in fear and trembling of the Lord. If you're subject to the invitation, come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Amen.